All righty, thank you. I know we're up a little bit late because of the testimony, so I will talk fast if you will listen fast, all right? But if you don't listen, then I'm going to have to talk slow, so. All right, of course, next Sunday is our offering Sunday, and again, we're not trying to belabor it, but this is where we're at. This is our season in our church, and we want to get that building done. And a lot of what Brother Bird put on the video is true. You know, it's just a matter of sometimes we're limited by space and what we can do. And for years and years and years, we've had classes outside. And I think we're to the point where it's like, we need to kind of quit doing that. I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't know. My class is inside, so I don't know how much the others enjoy it. So I want us to get that. I'm going to speak for a few minutes and encourage us about that. This morning, of course, when you're looking at building a building, going through construction, there are some basic things that you need. And usually it starts with the fact that you have a present need. You have a facility, whatever it is, a church or a business, and the facility is not to the point that it will meet your needs. And then you see what you want to do, and you have to go through this. And we went through all this, and it took a long time to go through with the city. Develop some plans. We had to have a parking survey, and we had to go to the city council, and we had to ask them to give us a little grace, really, with the parking lot, because our parking lot was big enough. That's why we had to get off-site parking. And you go through all that. We had blueprints and different drawings, and thankful for those of us, those in the church that helped us with that. Our first architect was not a part of our church, I don't think he was doing a good job. He gave us a picture of the building, and Pastor Esposito sent it to me and said, "What do you think of it?" I'm like, "It looks like a prison. It was horrible." And he's like, "I thought the same thing." So we finally had to get rid of him, and we got somebody else, Brother Bobby and them, that did a great job helping us get something that looks nice. We went through all that, figuring it all out, and then you build it. That's the basics of the construction of a building. That I've kind of simplified it. But there are other aspects in a spiritual sense that we need to see as well. And I want us to see it from the story of David. As I mentioned several weeks ago, David had it in his heart to build the temple. David's walking around his house one day and says, "Wow, this is I dwell in a great house, and the Ark of the Covenant, you know, it's in a tent." And he's like, and Nathan was there hanging out with him, the prophet. He says, "Hey, that sounds like a great idea. Do what's in your heart." And then God got to Nathan and said, "No, that's not a good idea, Nathan. I don't want David to build it. I want his son to build it." And so Nathan goes back and he tells him that that he's not going to build it, but Solomon is going to build it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, a chapter back in verse 9, it says, David says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." Then he says, "If thou wilt seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." He goes, "Take heed now," verse 10, "that the Lord hath chosen thee to build the house of the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." He says, it's your job. God has you in this position, do it, okay? Not Nike. Nike's just do it, okay? This is do it. Get it done. Let's do this. And he encourages him. So now we see that David is taking it a step further. He is going to give some really, in this chapter, building blocks of the temple's construction. Now, not like the practical aspects of getting blueprints and getting everything approved by the city, getting all that stuff that has to be done, but that's irritating. He's going to give them some spiritual reasons about the temple, because the temple was a spiritual thing. It required some physical help, some physical building, but it was done for a spiritual purpose. And so that had to be in place. So in this chapter, and I hate to tell you the points, because then you're like, start doing the mental math, right? It's 11:15 already. I'm going to give you 7 building blocks of a construction project that I see in David. They'll be quick. Don't worry about it. I understand that lunch is coming and I'm hungry too. First of all, there has to be a great vision. A great vision. You see, anything that's accomplished for God first starts in the mind of an individual that God prompts to get the job done. That's how God works. You see that not just here with David. You see that in other places. We see that when God wanted the wall to be built, what did he do? He placed it on the heart of Nehemiah to get the job done. When after the captivity, when he wanted the temple years later to be rebuilt, what did he do? He put it in the heart of Ezra to go back and get the job done. And so God put it in the heart of David, and David is transferring that to his son. But there had to be a vision for somebody that says, hey, the Ark of the Covenant is out here. God doesn't have a place where we can come and worship him. This needs to be dealt with. This needs to be done. And it was a vision in the mind of David. David had a vision and a desire to build it himself. Once that was taken away, his vision turned towards providing resources so that when Solomon did build it, he would have what he needed. And then after that, his desire and his vision turned to encouraging Solomon and helping Solomon to be able to get the job done. That is vision. Vision is seeing a desired outcome and desiring to be used to see it come to pass. What is happening around here, what is going on with our project, it's not just happening, there was a vision. The vision started in the mind of Pastor Esposito, really started back when we started the church to reach this area. It started with reaching the Cambodian population that had been coming in. And then it transferred and it got broader to reaching our city and to reaching our world. But there was a vision, and that vision is not going to change. If we're just building a building, we're just building a building. Let Starbucks do that. By the way, they have a vision to serve horrible coffee, and they're nailing it. I know you guys all like the sugary drinks, and maybe those are good, but when it comes to coffee, they do not get it right. I always say that Starbucks regular coffee is like McDonald's hamburgers. In name only. Okay? But they had a vision. We have a vision. We want a building, but a building for a purpose. We don't just want a great opportunity, a great auditorium. We want to be involved in gospel and advancing the gospel. We don't just want to be here for greater comfort. We're interested in the Great Commission. We're not just doing it for the accommodations we need in the present. We are doing it so that we can continue to reach out to the future generations. We're not just doing it for the community of Christians who are saved here. We're doing it to get the gospel and see people in our community saved. We don't just want it for our schools and scholarship and teaching. We want it to send trained servants out. It's all about the gospel. It's all about getting the word of God and the gospel of Christ out. Vision goes much further than just seeing this place, to seeing the purpose both now and for the future. There's a vision. The vision is how this building will be used. Secondly, the second building block is God's glory. Look at verse 1 of chapter 29. He said, For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Everything is to be for God. This building isn't just about us. Although, to be honest with you, I've met outside for church for many, many years here. I've taught outside. When I started the teenage class in our early days, we met across the street on the stairs of, I think it's Whittier Elementary School. Is that on Walnut? That was Ellen. And then we split the class in half, and my wife got the girls, and I met in the church van. You say, wow, that must have been a nice church van. No, it was about 100 years old. And it had no air conditioning. It was hot. And then we met everywhere. And I'm all for all of that. But you know what? It's nice to be indoors. It's nice to be able to hear without cars driving by. It was nice to have a church service back in the day. We're having an invitation right in the middle of the invitation. We hear, get out of the car. Put your hands in the air. Walk backward. They're arresting a guy right in front of the church during the invitation. You say, did you listen to Pastor Esposito? No, I wanted to see the guy get arrested. It's like, get on your knees. Put your hands behind your back. It was fun. Hopefully we're not going to do that in here during church, okay? But everything we do, it's for God's glory. We're trying to honor God with our building. And by the way, we ought to honor God in every part of our life, but that's what our church is supposed to do. Everything we do is supposed to honor God. The building is about what can be accomplished for God. Things that can only be done by God and God alone. That's our foundation. The Bible says, no other foundation than any man laid than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. That's who we're trying to honor. Remember, it was more symbolic than anything, but when we finally poured the foundation for this building, and Pastor was out of town, we went over there. I don't know if you remember. We got a Bible. I wanted to throw one of the church members, but we couldn't. We got a Bible, and as they started pouring the concrete of the very first section way in the back corner over here, we put that Bible in the foundation. It's there to this day. Okay? No, not Jimmy Hoffa. Okay? A Bible. For some of you don't understand what that is, he's not the hot dog guy. He's anyhow. It was a symbolic gesture, but it was our desire to have a church that's built on the Bible for the purposes we find in the Bible. So what is this about? It's about God's glory. That's why we can be in. You know what else it's about? It's about the leaders being involved in giving. If you look at verse 2 through 5, David talks about verse 2. He says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. And he goes over verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God, I have of my own proper good. And he tells what he has given. You read through that. What you notice is that later in David's later years in his life, his main focus was on the temple. And providing for the temple. Everything they got in war, he would set aside a portion and say, use that to build the temple. Now, what's the point of this? David is saying here, I've given Solomon. I know I'm not building it. I know I'll never see it, but I'm in. And I've given. Here's the point here, the point I want you to know. That's why really our staff gives testimonies, because I want you to know for this building, the staff is in. We're not sitting back saying, let everybody else in the church do it, and I don't want to be a part of it. Everybody's in. And by the way, if we're not in on it, I wouldn't expect you to be in on it, right? We're not some like, well, you're staff, you're on some other level. No, we just work here. And this is our church like it's your church. There's no difference there. And if we're all going to give, then we all need to give. And if the staff wasn't on board, I'll just tell you right now, I wouldn't give. If I was sitting in the pew and like, you know, you guys ought to give, and you know, I can't do it this year, don't give. I wouldn't give. We're in. We want to be a part of what's going on, and it's always been that way. And it's very easy because as David said, I have set my affection to the house of God. If you love anything, you give towards it. Okay? You give to your children, give all that. If you love this church, you're going to be a part of what we're doing here. So the leaders gave, but it wasn't just that. Next, the members also gave and sacrificed. Look at verse 6. David gives his testimony. Then chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds and the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Verse 7, and gave for the service of the house of God. Verse 8, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly. See, when we talked about this, we talk about how this is going to happen, and there's three things, right? We said there's the initial offering. That's all of us giving cash on that first Sunday. Then there's interval giving. That's making a commitment on top of that to give some throughout the year to help us get to the finish line. But then there's the last thing. It's involved giving. Everybody. Everybody doing their part. If this is your church, be a part of it in some way. I know not everybody's going to be a part of it the same way. I understand that. We're all at different levels. But our hearts are here. We're going to be involved in some way. All of us are going to be a part of what is going on here. And I'm not trying, again, you say, if you're new here, you came the last couple weeks, like, Pastor, I've heard the testimonies. Is that all you guys talk about is giving? No. But let me just explain something. We're not a church that's part of some denomination, some organization somewhere else that tells us what to do. Okay? Somebody, you know, some of these churches are part of this big denomination and someone in Georgia is telling them what to do. I don't know if you know this. Georgia and California are a little bit different. okay? And California, just to be honest with you, California's a different period, right? And so, look, God works through our church. The things we're doing, God are like, hey, why don't you start that ministry? It's like, all right, let's go. Hey, why don't you do this? Okay, let's go. And so this is our church. And if we're going to get the work done, it's us. It's us working together. That's why all we're asking you to do is to find your place and say, Lord, where's my part here? What do you want me to do? How can I be involved? That's all God's asking. And then you know what happens? Look at verse 9. There's great rejoicing. There's great rejoicing. It says, then the people rejoiced. Now, why did they rejoice? For that they offered willingly. They were joyful because they wanted to be part of this. They were joyful because they knew who it was for. They were joyful because they knew the purpose. And again, I hope you understand. You know, a building, a church, it's nothing more than a tool, right? I heard about a church. It was a Southern Baptist church several years ago. And they built a building, and it was, sit down, okay, you are $130 million. I saw the building. I'm like, man, I'd be happy for $1.3 million. They had like this scoreboard thing throughout the whole, I mean, like you see it like a football stadium. I'm thinking, we don't need that. I mean, we have these. Theirs was like, you know, it's crazy. Look, we're not doing that. We're a tool. By the way, you know, you realize that a lot of this building we did ourselves. Right? How many of you remember those days? I walk by some of the things. I'm like, I put that there. I'm surprised it still works. Like, you know, I was there working one day, and my fault, I should have had, you know, the eyeglass things on. And we were building the headers for these doors, and we were using the metal studs, and I was drilling straight down and looking right at it, and a piece of metal came shooting up. And it was like slow motion, right into the white of my eye. And I'm like, it's like, sorry, I'm not touching that. I went to see Albert. Albert, look! He's like, oh, okay, pulled it out, like, we're good to go. It's like, you're good to go. So guess what I did after that? I wore goggles. Say, you know, I may be dumb once. I'm not dumb twice. But look, those were some long days. But we're involved. This is our church. There's nothing greater than not just seeing God do something, but saying, man, I'm a part of that. I'm in on that. You know, the people that are the most excited, the people that will rejoice the most in anything, are the people that are involved the most. You know, you have some people come through, well, like, you know, and we haven't had that. You know, why didn't you do this? Like, I don't know. You know, we didn't do it. We didn't need it. You know, the people that do the least sometimes, they complain the most. But I'll tell you what, there's rejoicing when you get involved. Verse 9, they rejoice. You know why? They had a willing heart. Their heart was like they were prepared by God. Verse 9, because with perfect heart. You know why their heart was perfect in giving? Because they had the right motives. They understood the vision. They understood what needed to be done. They understood the purpose. They understood why, and they understood who they were doing it for. And it led them to have a joyful heart. We know the verse in 20. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, let me explain that. It doesn't mean it's not blessed to receive. It just means it's more blessed you give. If someone gets a gift, the person that gets a gift, they're happy. But you know who's happier? The person that gave them a gift. The person that gave to them. And so I want us to be excited, and I want us to be joyful. And then the next building block is thanking God. Look at verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And if you read through there, he just starts being thankful for so many different things, for God's power. Because regardless of what we do without God's help, it's not going to be successful. It's just not. By the way, we can do everything that we can do, and we should do everything we can do. But if God's not in it, it's a waste. You need both parts. We can't just rely on ourselves. That's why we pray and ask God. This week is a week of prayer, and I'm asking you to get involved with that. Okay, sign up. Do the 10 minutes a day for 5 days, just asking God to help us. And by the way, I don't have time to go through it, but we can go through all these different things where God has showed himself strong. In the early days of the church, when we were trying to get approved, there was a group that didn't even live in our area that was trying to get it stopped. And they talked about our buses and how our buses, if we build this building, are going to pollute the environment because they're so bad. And so we're fighting this group, not physically. And you know what God did? How many remember? He sent a lady from another organization in the city who was an environmentalist. And she came to our defense. I remember one Sunday we had the buses out here and I saw her out there. And she had a little measuring thing. And we're like, what are you doing? She goes, I'm measuring your buses for you. It's going to help. Don't worry. I'm like, okay. She measured our buses. And if I'm not mistaken, she went to before the city council and said, I measured the exhaust coming out of their buses, and I measured the exhaust coming out of the city of Long Beach buses, and your buses pollute more than theirs. Okay, I'm like, bang. That's my kind of lady right there. Let's go. Okay, but God sent that our way. And all throughout this process, we see God's hand, and we ought to thank him for that. God has provided for us. He's made up the lack that we have had. And then lastly, and this is really the most important, eternal impact. That's what we're looking for. It's not about, look, that's why I'm not getting on that church. If they want to spend $130 million, I just don't understand that, but it's like, we don't need a scoreboard. We're not keeping score in here, okay? We don't need that. You know what we need to do? We need to make an impact in someone's life. We just do. It's about people whose lives are being changed. It's about people who don't know Jesus Christ, and they look around at this world, and it's like, you know, is there a place that hasn't gone crazy? Do you know our world's going crazy? It's nuts. Okay, you want an example? I'll give you an example because I'm irritated. The Dodgers are having a drag queen group at their baseball game. Now that's bad enough, but it's a group that mocks Catholics and mocks Christ. I don't want you to see the video, but I saw a clip, and they're doing immoral things on a cross. And our baseball team, not my baseball team anymore. I've been a Dodger fan forever. If they have them in, I'm done. Okay? And it's like, what does that have to do? Do you know there's other people out there that see that type of thing? And they like, what's going on in this world? You know what they need? They need a place to come in. It's like, hey, there is a better way. Hey, not everybody in this world is going crazy. Not everybody in this world has a negative mentality. There's a place where we can all be one. There's a place where there's hope, and there's a place where we can have a sense of meaning in our life because of God. That makes an impact. That's what our church is all about. If you just want something that's, by the way, I like air conditioning. I love air conditioning. That's why I am in Long Beach. I'm not in Arizona. Say, God's calling me to Arizona. He better text, email, and send a carrier pigeon because I ain't going. Okay? I like air. The old building, you guys remember? We had to open the windows and have people outside for church. And it'd be summertime, and my Sunday school class was in there, and the air conditioning worked. As soon as that morning service started, and everybody came in, the windows open, it's like, it was hot in there. And I'm like, man, I might as well preach on hell. It feels like it. I'm glad we have air conditioning, but that's not why we have this auditorium. We got to make a difference in this world. We got to have a place where we can bring people in and we can share the good news of Jesus Christ and we can share the gospel and what Jesus Christ can do in their life. That's what we're going to do. And not just now, but into the future. Into the future. That's what the building program is all about. We don't talk about money a lot. We don't. I'm not preaching about, plant your faith seed every week. We don't do that. But this is a season, and we need to get this done. We have a commission to fulfill. We have a job to do, and we have people to help. Used to be in communities, the biggest help in the communities was the churches. The churches were prominent in the community. When we were going through this process of getting approved, the one group that was against us, they didn't want our building here because of, you know, where we're at in the community and blah, blah, blah. And one other lady, I don't think she was a Christian. She says, that is what we want. She said, it used to be when you came into a town, the first thing you saw was the steeple of the church. That's why we push. I push for it. Let's build a nice little a clock tower steeple. I haven't checked the time. I hope the time is right out there, okay? You know, if it's wrong, it's at least right once a day. But it's like they used to look and say, oh, that's the city. That's the community. There's the houses. There's the church. They don't want, you know, people. There's some people that... But you know what? They need what the church has to offer. They may not understand the building. They may not understand all of that, but we can get to them and talk to them, and they can understand what God has for them. And that's why we need this. And so what am I hoping and praying for? I'm praying, number one, for God to do something great, God to meet our needs, and God to work in our midst, but we have to do our part, and that's what next week is all about. That's the building blocks of the church. It's not the concrete and all that. That's part of it. That's not what it is. It's about what God wants from us, what God wants to accomplish through us, and what can we do. And that's what the building's all about. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Thank you for listening. A different type of message, and I went through it quickly. I'm glad that there was when I was a young person, that there was a church in my life. I didn't understand churches. I thought church was just a building. First thing that came to mind, when someone mentioned church, I'm thinking building, right? These ornate. That's not what church is. Church is a place where God's people meet together. Church is a place where God's people encourage and help one another. Where we get together and formulate what we're going to do and go out into our community and do it. Many of those things we saw in the testimony video, all of those things are external. They're things the church is motivated and trained and encouraged in the Word of God. And then we go from this place to get others. That's what it is. So let's all do our part. Next week, it's going to be a financial part. But I'll be honest with you, there's always a part we need to play. Maybe it's a service part. We need to get involved. We do need a new bus. We have someone going through it, but we need going through a driver's, but we need a couple more so that we don't run out. We're in four of these nursing homes. I guarantee you we could get in six more if we had people that just, I'm in. By the way, those are people that have nobody that cares about them, and many of them will never step foot in this church. But this church works in here to go out there. What are we going to do about it? What's my part? As we think about all those, I want you to pray about your part next week. And I want you to pray that God would use whatever we bring in to help us as we are just a few feet from the finish line. Maybe you're here this morning, I didn't really talk about it, but one of the things that God wants in your life, if you just came in today, He wants you to be a part of His family. He wants you to know, and it's the main thing, it's the main purpose of our church, is to help people to understand where they are going when they die. Because heaven is real, and God wants you there. Here's the question. Are you 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Or do you have any doubt? That can be fixed this morning. With nobody looking around, if you would say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure. If I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. No one looking around. As soon as I see it, I'll acknowledge anybody at all. Let's stand together this morning. Let's stand. All God wants us to do in anything is our part and what we can. Do you understand the importance of church? Do you understand the importance of the purpose of the church and what God wants to do in our church? What is your part? The piano's going to play it. God spoke to you at all. Why don't you come? Why don't you come?